name is Al Morse, and today I'm going to talk to you about the grace of God, and it's going to be part two. The grace of God, part two. We did part one several weeks ago, and I just didn't even come close to scratching the surface of it. And when I get done with the day, I still won't be able to scratch the surface of it. But anyway, we're going to start on grace part two. Get your Bibles out and get ready for study, because this is really neat. This is really neat, and I want you to understand these things. Grace means undeserved favor. That's the noun, undeserved favor. And it also means the verb is forgiveness. You see, when God gives grace to you, it's undeserved. It's nothing that we do to get this grace of God. And this is for our salvation. Our salvation is based on only one thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. When you believe the gospel, God's grace will shed upon you to save you and to forgive you, and put you in a position where you have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never die. As soon as you pass away today, your old body dies, your soul and spirit will be with the Lord and for eternity, and we'll have tremendous blessings in heaven. Let's turn in your Bibles to Titus. Let's go to Titus, and we're going to look at verse chapter 3. That's the last book of his epistles, Titus. Timothy, after Timothy, and then Titus. Let's look at verses 5. It says, this is chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not by our works for our salvation. All the churches today have all kinds of works for us for salvation, but it has nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is only by believing the gospel. Teachers, preachers don't want to talk about the gospel because they're not preaching God's word. They don't want to talk about the gospel. Satan doesn't want them to talk about the gospel because gospel is salvation. We believe that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And when you believe that, you're saved plus nothing. No works. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. Not one thing. Just while we're here, let's just back up just to the next. Go back to 2 Timothy. Just a page or two back. And look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9. Well, let's just do it 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was in prison at this time. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works. Here we go again. It's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. It's His grace that saved us, not what we do, but what He did. It's His grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. And look what it happens in verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. How did He do it? Through the gospel. That Jesus died for your sins, that He is buried, and He rose from the dead. You believe that, and the grace of God will come upon you and save you, forgive you of your sins. It's just wonderful. Not only that, you'll also be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know all about that in Ephesians 1:13. It says, when you believe the gospel for your salvation, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you know as well as I know that a person cannot be saved unless he has the Holy Spirit. Well, Al, you got where do you get that? Well, just turn back to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I can't say something if I can't back it up. I just said that you cannot be saved unless you are filled with the Spirit. Look at verses 9. But ye are not in the flesh. He's talking to believers. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That's the question. Does he dwell in you? Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Is Jesus living in you today? Is the Holy Spirit in you? Is he walking in you with you each and every day? Is he the main part of your life? If he's not, he says Christ is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not of his. The word grace is used in Paul's epistles 110 times. The fact that grace was pointed out 110 times proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that our salvation is based only on the grace of God plus nothing. We do not deserve salvation, or can we do any work to gain salvation. Salvation rests only on the grace of God through Jesus' death on the cross that paid the sin debt for every person from Adam to the last person of this earth. And when we believe Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again, that's the gospel, only then can we receive the grace of God. The forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and free from the wrath of God. Free from the wrath of God. You see, the wrath of God right now is on every person on this earth who does not believe the gospel. And he has all the right to. Because he sent his only son down on this earth, and he took on the body of a man, and he died on that cross to pay the sin debt for mankind. So that they didn't have to go to hell. That they can, everybody here has the ability to go to heaven, and all they have to do is believe it. Believe what he did. Believe the gospel. That Christ died for your sins on that cross. He bled on that cross. He shed his blood for you. And then he was buried. Sure, he was buried. All dead people are buried. He was buried. He was dead. But yet, God raised him from the dead. Because if he hadn't raised from the dead, we'd still be in our sins and we'd be lost. You see, that's why we put our salvation isn't believing in Jesus. It's believing what he did, because what he did is what saved us. Because if he hadn't died on that cross to pay for our sins, nobody, not one person on this earth could ever go to heaven. Couldn't happen. And no matter who you believed in, it couldn't happen. So when Jesus set up this new church, the body of Christ, the criteria for salvation for the body of Christ wasn't believing in Jesus. It was believing what he did. The gospel. That's all Paul preached, was the gospel. You study these books of his and you just cannot comprehend how the world, the churches teach what they teach today. They just are shied away from the gospel totally. They never mention it. They never mention 1 Corinthians 15. Never once. Have you ever heard a sermon on 1 Corinthians 15? And that's the gospel laid out that a fifth grader could understand it. But I've never heard it, and I'm 71 years of age. Have I ever heard a preacher stand up and says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe? No, I've never heard a preacher say that. I've never heard a preacher say that. That's Romans chapter 1, 16. Oh, it's just heartbreaking. And people are walking around without the grace of God because they don't believe the gospel. They don't believe the gospel. And it's just hard for me to understand why the gospel isn't preached. Of course, I do understand why. It was almost too late in my life before I found out. Just turn to 2 Corinthians. I wasn't going to do this, but this is just tremendously important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, verses 3, he says, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. You see, if it's hidden to somebody, they're lost. If they don't believe the gospel for their salvation, they're lost. It says, if the gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. How many so-called Christians believe the gospel for their salvation? If they don't, they're lost. Why? It says, in whom the God of this age. Who's the God of this age? Satan. Satan. He has blinded the minds of them who believe not. Boy, he blinded my life, my whole life. I never understood the gospel was for my salvation. I always was told that my salvation depended on believing in Jesus. You see? It says, for those who believe not, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. And he's doing it today. You turn on the TV and listen to the TV preachers on Sunday morning. They never stood up and preached. I never heard one ever preach the gospel. Oh, they may mention it one or two times, but when it comes down to the end of it, and they want you to accept Jesus as your Savior. Take Jesus in your heart and believe in Jesus and be saved. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. It was to the Jew, but we're not Jews. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. We're the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be today. The body of Christ and our salvation is the gospel. You just get in the Bible and read it. It's all he's talked. That's all Paul taught. He says, if anybody preach any other gospel than I preach to you, he said, let him be accursed. And in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he said it twice. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, if you add anything to the gospel, if some preacher tells you you've got to be baptized in order to be saved, Christ has no benefit for you. He knows no benefit. He told them then. Back then they were dealing with the law. He said, if you keep the law, you've fallen from grace. Or if you do it for salvation, it's just hard to even comprehend. It's hard to comprehend what the churches teach today. Let's turn to back to Romans. Turn to Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 1. Back to Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 4. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. That's the gospel, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience of the faith. They have received grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. Forgiveness of sin. That's what grace is. And you'll see, and look on up here in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, the beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people just read right through that. But look what he's telling you. Grace to you, unmerited favor to you, because you believe the gospel, and peace with God. That's the key. That's the key. You see, as soon as we believe the gospel, we did what God wants us to do, and that's to believe in His Son, that He died on that cross, and He died, buried, and He rose from the dead. And when we do that, we have peace from God. We're not under His wrath anymore. I mean, we are in fellowship with Him. And if you want to go on further, we won't do it. But in Romans chapter 8, it talks about we become, if we have the Holy Spirit, and we get that when we believe the gospel, We become sons of God. We become heirs of God and sons of God and co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. Let's look to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verses 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 4. And just see what it says. It says, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace. You see, if we're working for our salvation, it's not reckoned of grace. We don't get grace, but it's of debt. You see, when we're working for something, what we're trying to say is, Lord, I've done this now because I've did this. You owe me salvation. Because I was baptized and I speak in tongues, you owe me salvation. God doesn't owe anybody anything. He will not be indebted to anything, anybody. But to him who worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. You see, our faith is counted to righteousness. Has nothing to do with our works. And all the churches, they just got an armload of things we got to do. You got to be baptized. You got to speak in tongues. You got to pay your tithe. You got to join a certain church. You've got to take the sacraments. You got to pray to Mary. Whatever. And all none of these things have anything to do with your salvation. Whatsoever has nothing to do with it. It's our faith in the gospel. The faith in what? It's always the gospel Paul preached, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. You see, Paul went through literal hell preaching the gospel. 5 times he was beaten with the cat of nine tails, 39 times. That's his heart even. Then thrown in prisons, those dirty, nasty prisons, just like thrown in a cesspool. And how he come out of there without getting horrible diseases and blood poisoning. Who would know after your back is ripped like hamburger? But what did he do? God got him out of there to do what? Preach the gospel. Beaten 3 times with rods. And they're just as bad. And how in the world he lived through it, no one knows. But what did he do? He got out of those. They threw him in prison. They got out of prison. And he preached the gospel. They stoned him to death and carried him out of that town of Lystra like a dead horse. God raised him up. What to do? Preach the gospel. And that's all he did. In jails and prisons, he preached the gospel. And the only way that they could shut him up was they cut his head off. But and why the pastors can't preach the gospel today, I can't comprehend. Unless it's just Satan himself. Satan has blinded the people today. Just unmercifully, it's horrible. They've totally turned their back on the gospel. Let's look back, go back. Let's go to Romans chapter. Let's go to chapter 3. And let's look at 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." It's through his blood on that cross and our faith in his blood that he gave us remissions of sin. It's just hard to even comprehend. But it's what he did, not what we did. It's what he did that gave us remission of sins. It's what he did that saved us. Just look at Romans chapter 4 and see what it has there. 4:4. It says, no, I just did that. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verses 1. Romans, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace." You see, when we put our faith in the gospel, that Christ died in Christ, it's in the gospel, that Christ died on that cross to pay for our sins, and he was buried and he rose again, we have faith and unto his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. His grace falls upon us. His grace is sufficient. If we make a problem, if we have a mistake in our life once we are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, his grace covers our sins. He's totally paid for our sins. The sins debt has been paid for. And we believe that, and in believing that, we receive his grace. His grace. Nothing we did ourselves, his grace. Let's look at verses 5, 20. 5:20. Let's see where you're at here. "Moreover, the law entered, and the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound." You see, Jesus wants us to come to him just like we are. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care if you're a druggie. I don't care if you're a drunkard. I don't care if you're hooked on pornography. I don't care what situation. If you're a liar, I don't care what you're in. If you, he comes to you right like you are, and his grace, if you believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose, and that you truly believe that, his grace will cover every sin that you ever committed or will commit. And he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will work with you and will, so you can walk away from those sins. And you will. Because the power of God is beyond your imagination. There's nothing that you're involved in that God can't help you get come out of it. You can't do it on your own. That's why the churches fall short today. You see, they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why they see half of their congregation leave. Because they just don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why they got sin so much in their churches. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, person without the Holy Spirit can't walk on this earth without sin. You can't do it. But when you have the Holy Spirit working with you, I'm not saying that you'll never sin after you have the Holy Spirit, but if you do, God's grace is sufficient to cover it. And he will take you and pick you up out of that sin and put you back on the road to closer to be walking closer with him. He will do it every time. He'll do it every time. It's a wonderful verse. Now just look at chapter 6. Let's go to 6, 14 and 15. Chapter 6, and let's look at verses 14 and 15. It says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that whom you yield yourself servants to, obey his servants, ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or to obtain or obedience unto righteousness? We know we don't want to sin. Sin is to death. And we're going to do everything we can do to stick to walk away from it. And we can do it because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he can pull us away, and we know that his grace will cover our sin. It's just beyond our imagination. We're not going to want to sin. I mean, he takes that out of your mind. He points you to Jesus, and you walk with him. God will never, ever point you to sin. He'll always point you away from sin. It's just, this is tremendous. Let's look at Romans chapter 11 and look at verses 5 and 6. Chapter 11. And let's look at 5 and 6. It says, even so, then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, you see. If this works, you don't have grace. If you're dependent on your works for salvation, you don't have the grace. It's no more grace. But if it is the works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more work. In other words, we're not involved in our works. We're involved in the grace of God. And when the Holy Spirit was in us, sure, we work then, but it's not us doing work. It's God working through us. And everything that God does through us, he will get the glory, but we'll get the rewards. We'll get the rewards. Let's look at Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians. Romans. 1 and 2 Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians. Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. This is a verse that you probably have memorized. I hope you have anyway. But here's what it says. It says, for by grace you are saved. Through faith. Faith in what? What does Paul preach? The gospel. The gospel. See, for by the grace of God we are saved through faith, and not of yourself, nothing that you've done. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so you see, it's our faith. And if we have faith in God, then the grace of God comes upon us and saves us. But you have to, it's through faith. And it's faith in the gospel. That's all Paul preached, is the gospel. Well, since it was faith in Jesus. Well, sure, it's faith in Jesus. But it's not in his name and not in his person. It's what he did. You see? My faith in Jesus is no, it hasn't shaken a bit since I believed the gospel. In fact, there's 1,000 times more faith. It's Jesus did die on that cross. Yes, he did. But we see he pointed to the cross. And if he pointed to the cross for salvation, I believe him. You see, Abraham was saved because he believed God. We're saved also because we believe God. And when God tells us, which is Jesus Christ is God, he tells us to put our faith in the gospel, that Christ died for his sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. We do it. We believe it. And it's tremendously important that we do. It's tremendously important that we do. That we believe the gospel. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, just go Philippians, then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, it's in this verse, we're going to start at verse 21. This is my favorite verse. And you that were once alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You see, because you believed in his blood on the cross. He died on that cross to pay for you. It's been reconciled. For in the body of his flesh, through death, through his death on the cross, to present you. How is he going to present you from that death on the cross? He's going to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. Can you imagine working a day is going to come, I'm going to stand before God, totally holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Oh, praise God. How in the world can you think of such? This is just beyond our imagination because we know who we are. We're not holy, but God made us holy on his death on that cross. But there's an if here. There's an if here. Now read it. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from what? From the hope of the gospel. You turn away from the gospel, you got a problem. Which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, in which I, Paul, am made a minister. The gospel. The gospel is the only key to salvation there is. It's not believing in Jesus. It's not taking Jesus as your Savior. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. And when you believe that, you're saved. You're saved. That's how you are saved. And then, because of that, Ephesians 1:13, it's because you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. And that proves that you're saved. Do you have salvation? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? If you don't, you need to get to the gospel and believe it. And then you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he'll lead you the rest of your life. Every day he'll be with you, walking with you, pointing you closer and closer to Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that people understood these words and that they would come to know the gospel and that the grace of God fall upon them and forgive them of their sins and that they would come to the saving knowledge of the gospel, Lord, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.